Alors nous allons poursuivre avec le panel de ce matin qui est consacré au contenu du journal indépendant de demain. Vous savez, on parle beaucoup depuis, Marc a évoqué au début tout à l'heure la crise des journaux. Alors, on parle un peu sur toutes les tribunes et dans tous les médias de trouver un nouveau modèle d'affaires parce que le modèle actuel serait un bout de souffle. Quant à moi, je pense qu'on met la charrue avant les bœufs. J'ai peut-être tort, mais je pense qu'avant de chercher un modèle d'affaires, il faut réfléchir un peu sur le produit, entre guillemets, le contenu. Qu'est-ce qu'on veut vendre pour trouver un nouveau modèle d'affaires, qui va payer et de quelle manière. Donc, une réflexion sur les contenus et les façons de garantir l'indépendance des contenus est essentielle, capitale, et c'est, pour bonne part, l'objet du panel de ce matin. Et en même temps, de qui faut-il garantir l'indépendance du journal ou du journaliste et de quelle manière. Alors, je vous présente tout de suite nos trois panélistes. Je reviendrai de façon plus précise en présentant tout à l'heure chacun d'entre eux, mais à ma gauche, Mme Anne Niva.
Bonjour.
Mme Perséphone Miel et M. John Hendrick. Alors, je vais commencer. On va procéder par ordre alphabétique et on va faire parler un homme avant de faire parler les femmes. C'est l'égalité. Alors. Donc, Monsieur Hendrick est président du conseil de Torstar. Torstar, c'est the parent company, should I say that, of the Toronto Star. Alors, le Toronto Star, qui est moins connu au Québec que son concurrent torontois, le Globe and Mail, mais le Toronto Star, on l'oublie parfois, c'est le journal le plus important du Canada en termes de tirage. C'est un journal qui a beaucoup d'influence aussi. C'est un journal dont on dit qu'il est plutôt de centre-gauche. Et c'est un journal aussi, et je sais que M. Hendrick va nous parler en particulier, de ce qu'on appelle les Atkinson Principles. C'est un journal dont un ancêtre, M. Atkinson, a développé un ensemble de principes devant guider la rédaction dans les contenus du journal. Il y a un esprit, un cadre dans lequel on pense ce journal. Alors, je sais que M. Hendrick parlera, entre autres, de ça. M. Hendrick a une longue carrière.
I would like to say that you are one of the most respected journalists in English Canada, and I'm very happy that you agreed to come to share the day with us this morning.
Thank you. Monsieur Hendrick, avant d'être le président de Torstar, a une longue carrière. Il a été reporter, il a été chef du bureau du Star à Ottawa, à Washington. Il a été business editor, editorial page editor, publisher pendant 10 ans, donc éditeur pendant 10 ans du journal.
Monsieur Hendrick.
Merci bien. Bonjour à tous. Great pleasure for me to come today to speak to this colloquium, and first of all, to congratulate Le Devoir on its 100th anniversary. It is a magnificent celebration and certainly a very important event, not only for Quebec, but also for newspapering in this country. When Florian asked me to come and speak to this colloquium, very interesting subject, the independent newspaper of the 21st century. Now, I have to say, I heard the definition that you provided of an independent newspaper, and within that context, the Toronto Star would not be included, but I beg to differ. We have been around for 118 years, founded in 1892. There is a parent company, of which I'm the chairman of the board, but it is based on the Toronto Star. The Toronto Star, the name of the parent company is Torstar. We own 3 other newspapers that are dailies, the Hamilton Spectator, the Kitchener Record, the Guelph Mercury. We also own 100 community newspapers, all based in southern Ontario. We have a digital arm, Torstar Digital. And we also have another investment which gives us financial security, and that's Harlequin. the romance fiction publisher which is known around the world. It is, in fact, owned in Toronto. So the people of the Toronto Star, if you were to ask the reporters, the editors, the photographers, do they work for an independent newspaper? Of course we do. They see very much in terms of the operation of the Toronto Star as being an independent newspaper. So when I was asked the question, what is the independent newspaper of the future, I felt it was also worthwhile, perhaps part of the answer may lie in the past as to what has worked and what in particular has made the Toronto Star so successful. And as was mentioned, for the last 70 years, we have been the largest circulation newspaper by far in the country, but we are not a national newspaper, not like the Globe and Mail, the National Post. We are based entirely in Southern Ontario. What has made us different? What has been the reason why we have been so successful in publishing a newspaper in this country? And the answer is, to some degree, and what I was asked to speak today, is the values that we at the Toronto Star espouse. And in that sense, we are very different. We are our story as a newspaper, our story today in terms of what we put out as a newspaper, is different than any other newspaper in this country, and I would also say probably different than any other newspaper in the world in the sense of how our story developed. And they're known and they're called the Atkinson Principles. And these are the editorial principles that the Toronto Star has followed now for over a century. And they are the basis, I would argue, on which make us distinctive and successful. What are they? How did they come about? And what do they mean to the newspaper? And it's a fascinating story, and it starts in 1940s with Joseph Atkinson, who was the founder, the basic founder of the newspaper, took it over. It was a struggling newspaper set up by a printer's strike. By the time of his death, he owned all the shares in the newspaper. And he'd obviously spent a lot of time worrying about what was going to be the legacy of the Toronto Star. How was it going to go forward? For all his life, he editorialized, lobbied hard for a civil, a tolerant, and an economically independent Canada. And he was determined that his paper not fall into the hands of those who might take a different point of view. The Star was his life's work. He wanted to make sure that got carried on. So in his will, he specified that the Toronto Star should be run by people, and I quote, familiar with the doctrines and beliefs which I have promoted in the past. And to make sure that this wish got carried out, he gave all the shares of the Toronto Star to the Atkinson Charitable Foundation. It's a charitable foundation that bears his name. And this is why he did it, and I quote again his will, that the publication of the paper shall be conducted for the benefit of the public in the continued frank and full dissemination of news and opinions, very important, with the profit motive, while still important, subsidiary to what I consider the chief functions of a metropolitan newspaper. And this has become known as the Atkinson Will Clause, referring specifically to the operation of the Toronto Star, the largest paper in the country. And that might have been the end of the story, given his shares to the foundation to be carried on. But it wasn't. The Star, as was mentioned, is a center-left paper. The provincial government of the time in Ontario, Conservative government of Leslie Frost. The very year after Mr. Atkinson died, the Conservative government passed a law making it retroactively illegal for a charitable trust to own a public company. And there was but one public company in Ontario at that time that was owned by a charitable trust, and that was the Toronto Star. So what you basically had here was a newspaper whose owners were illegal. So what happens? For 8 years, the Toronto Star was effectively run by the public trustee of the province of Ontario. If you can imagine, the government was actually the ultimate arbiter responsible for the newspaper. Finally, in 1957, the government decided that there would be a price set for the newspaper, and anyone in the country that wanted to own the Toronto Star could go ahead and bid for it. The then directors of the Star, of the newspaper, who were also the directors of the Atkinson Charitable Foundation, they went to court and they said, we're the ones who should own this newspaper because we're the ones who understand the doctrines and beliefs of Joseph Atkinson. We're the one who can carry on the values that are the basis of this newspaper. That was the argument they presented to the court, and they made a commitment, a promise, that if they were successful in getting this company, that they would, and I quote, observe and promote in the Toronto Star the doctrines and beliefs which the late Joseph Atkinson promoted during his lifetime. They went even further. They said, and they promised again in the court documents, the publication of the Star, which is a major metropolitan newspaper, shall remain a public trust, end of quotes. They won in court, and the promises that they made to the court, the promises in terms of the operation of the newspaper, the promises as to the principles, editorial basis on which the Star would go forward, remain today. They are an essential covenant of the voting trust, which was the group that was formed to buy the papers, and they are also written in to the corporate structure of the Toronto Star and Torstar. I think, so what does it mean? What do these Atkinson principles mean? Means two things. Number one, that all those people who are running the Toronto Star, working for the Toronto Star, meet two obligations. The first, there is an obligation to be a profitable newspaper for the sake of both the shareholders, but also to make sure that the Star retains its editorial independence. That's one obligation. The second obligation is to ensure that the paper promotes the beliefs and doctrines of Joseph Atkinson, and in the process, that it remains a great metropolitan newspaper. Now, you might say, do these two obligations ever conflict? The answer is yes, they do. If you recall, Mr. Atkinson, what he said, the profit motive, while important, must in some cases be subsidiary to the operation of a great metropolitan newspaper. So, if we were to run the Star with the goal of maximizing profit, we would run it in a very different way than we have for 118 years. Similarly, if we were to run it totally on the basis of maximizing quality, we would probably have double the number of foreign correspondents and reporters. I describe it as a creative tension that exists between these two obligations, and it is what makes, quite frankly, the Toronto Star great. The principles are part of our legacy and always will be, and it has been the challenge of the proprietors and the publishers to work out what is the best balance between these obligations. The principles, and if you were interested in reading more about them, if you go on the Torstar website, torstar.ca, you can call up Atkinson Principles. Mr. Atkinson never codified them. He never actually said, this is what they are. In fact, it was left to others later on, myself being the primary one, to try and codify exactly what his general beliefs were. And they are a sturdy nationalism. The Toronto Star is a very strong Federalist newspaper. A strong belief in the city. We're very much concentrated on Toronto and our area. The rights of unions. We were born out of a strike of printers, pressmen. We still very much interested in the rights of the working people. The right to liberty and freedom from discrimination. And the right to economic security. And we have been one of the largest proponents for the social welfare system that Canada now has. And in the last century, part of the challenge of the Star has been to balance those principles within the economic realities that we face. And I can tell you, in Toronto and in Ontario, a lot of people make fun of the Atkinson principles. Those people on Bay Street have a tendency to say, how can you possibly be governed by the wishes of a dead man? What I say to them is, our primary audience is, and always has been, the readers of Greater Toronto. And with their loyalty, they have made us the largest and most successful newspaper in this country. We have been, and we continue to be. And I think there are lessons to be gained from this particular experience as we go forward. And I'll go finish with the words from Mr. Atkinson in a 1929 editorial. It is the readers of a newspaper that ensure its success. They, and nobody else. Thank you very much.
Merci beaucoup, Monsieur Hendrick. Merci.